All right, listen to me carefully. Jurickson Profar is doing something rare and special right now for a Major League Baseball player. I don't know how long it's going to last, but while it does, Mike Schilt, stop taking him out of the game. Stop taking him out of the game. He's your best player. Why are you keep doing this? Welcome back. It is Ben and Will. It's hour number two. I had to get that off my chest.
After the first hour. Great Padre or greatest Padre? I'm just asking the question.
It obviously, it's not going to continue like this forever. He's hitting 338. He's got a 420 OBP. He's slugging 538. He's got six home runs. He is unbelievable right now. You ride the hot hand, and you don't take him out of the game, especially when it's still a one-run game, yeah. And he may still come up in the ninth inning. It's not like he's an absolute
butcher
in the outfield either. Azokar is an upgrade over most guys because of his speed, but he's not that big of an upgrade.
Correct.
If you're up by six, fine, get him off his feet.
Yes.
If it's the bottom of the ninth and you already, he just batted in the top of the ninth, and the only chance he's going to get up again is in the 11th or something. All right, you go with your defensive lineup. But in a 2-1 game in the eighth inning, when you may still get up again in the ninth.
You did.
And, there's always a chance. I mean, it's not like the Padres never give up a run right after scoring. In fact, they do it about 50% of the time. It's a huge problem. You should start assuming the other team is going to come back and tie or take the lead, and you're going to need more offense later in the game. And I thought, I was hoping Jackson Merrill would come through. When he batted in Profar's spot with a couple of guys on and a chance to turn that game back around again. But it's tough to do, especially for a rookie. You've been cold on the bench all game. Chicago, it's night. And now you're jumping in a huge situation. I would have much rather had Jurickson coming off a home run in his last at-bat, getting another chance there in the ninth inning in the clutch. He has delivered so many times, and he may have struck out. He may have grounded out. We don't know what would have happened, but I know I would have rather in that situation had Jurickson Profar batting in the ninth inning. That was a mistake by Mike Schilt.
Let me ask you this. If a ball goes into the gap and Profar goes after it and makes a valiant effort and doesn't come up with it, are you coming on today and saying, damn it, Sugar should have been in there. He's so good on defense that you have to put Sugar in there. Sugar's fine. But again, it's not like you're upgrading to Ichiro or something when you put Sugar in. And I don't know if that's the cardinal way, prioritizing defense late in the game. And the other thing is, especially with your very taxed bullpen, your very ineffective bullpen, bro, play for offense right now. You have to. And you're into the Cubs' weak-ass bullpen. That seemed to me, after I went back, a guy DM'd me, and I was like, no, I think it's fine. And then they come back, and Jurickson's, I go, oh, that was his spot. That was Jurickson's spot that Merrill's hitting in. I went, oh, crap, dude. You're right. I said, that is, yeah. And he goes, yeah, man, it's not like Jurickson's Nelly Cruz out there or something. You're like, we have to put a new guy out there. Sorry, guys, I'm playing to hold this one-run lead. No, you're in the Cubs' weak bullpen. You need to score runs. He's your best hitter. He gives you a really good AB. He could have gotten on, worked a walk and gotten up for Tatis. And so I that was kind of a mistake by him. As far as the bullpen management goes last night, again, I'm going to default to Yuki Matsui has to execute, period. You cannot walk the leadoff hitter with Cody Bellinger on deck. If they beat you, they beat you. Who do you walk? Happ?
I forget who he walked, but
don't walk him.
I was dreading it.
Oh, I was sick. I knew it was coming.
Back-to-back days. Oh. He's had trouble with the control, especially on the back-to-back days. Talkman. Walked Talkman to start the inning.
Inexcusable.
Then Bellinger got a hit.
Got a
single. Bellinger's tough.
Yep.
And then, sacrifice fly and got the grounded, and then he was out of the game. But you can't walk the first guy. Bellinger's single doesn't hurt you if you don't walk the first guy.
If Mike Talkman hits a jack off you, well, tip your cap. Mike Talkman just got me. Lefty, lefty, fine. All right? No big deal. Just don't give him a free pass.
All right, I will disagree with the people in my timeline who said you have to go to Robert Suarez there in the ninth inning.
You can't go to Robert Suarez there in the ninth inning.
Multiple reasons. First of all, he got five outs the day before. You're trying to avoid, if possible, Robert Suarez. Now, if you're going to win that game, though, you're still going to need him to close out the bottom of the 10th. The best spot to use Robert Suarez would be after you score in the top of the 10th and need him to strand a runner at second base, you know, the Manfred man in the bottom of the 10th inning to try to win the game with his fastball right there. Not with the tie game and nobody on in the bottom of the ninth.
So somebody,
that was not the situation for Robert Suarez. I will vehemently disagree with fans who criticized Mike Shildt for not putting in Suarez in the ninth inning. I would have criticized him for doing it, even if it had been effective. That's not where you use your closer
it's
in a
not.
Game like that.
It's just not. It's pissing rain. He got a 5-out save the night before. I don't want him in a tie ball game.
No.
I don't want him in a tie ball game because you're still going to have to get the bottom half, you know, the bottom 3 outs. And I just didn't think that was, I thought that was fine. You know, and damned if you do, damned if you don't. Who was left in the bullpen last night? Wandy Peralta. Anybody would have been excited to see Wandy Peralta come out instead of Eniel De Los Santos? Again, they're taxed, they're worn out. Starts from a week ago are burning them now. The very short start from Waldron. I mean, it's you see the cumulative effect of how overworked they are. So I had no problem with him not going to score.
I do have one criticism, though, and I will get to it as soon as I give out the number for Take on Woods here. 833-288-0973. Call now. Want to play our game? We're going to play in a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. The evidence, even in a small sample, is pretty clear, though. Stop bringing in Eniel De Los Santos to get an out or two, and then have him sit down and come back the next inning.
All right. I know that it's happened the last couple of times.
Four times.
This season?
All four home runs he's given up in his last three or four appearances have come after he has come in, done the job, gotten out of an inning.
Didn't he throw one pitch to get out? And then came out and threw another pitch.
I understand that. But unfortunately, it seems as though Eniel De Los Santos getting up, throwing, then going back to the dugout and coming back out brings out the worst in Eniel De Los Santos.
Okay.
That's all of his home runs have come after he has come into the game, got out of an inning, gone back to the dugout, then returned for the second inning, started throwing, and he gives up the home runs. It just keeps happening over and over again. Jesse Rogers mentioned it. The Cubs have had the same problem. Craig Counsell keeps getting burned by bringing a reliever in the middle of the inning and then bringing him back the next inning, and that's when the reliever struggles.
How can that be? What are we?
You understand that?
No, I don't. No, I do not understand it. I don't understand it.
Most relief pitchers
seems like an anomaly to
me. Most relief pitchers have the routine where they warm up in the bullpen.
Yep.
They come in usually either to start the inning or finish the inning, and then they're done. It's fairly unusual for them to then sit down, have to warm up again for another inning, and go. That's out of the comfort zone for most relievers.
So
it has to happen occasionally.
That's
in baseball.
What I was going
to
say.
It has to happen.
Yeah, like hey, you threw three pitches. Can you get the matchup is favorable, and can you go out and get me another one? And they always say yes, we can. So, again, Eniel De Los Santos comes in last night, throws one pitch, gets out of it. He's done. So now who do you go to? That's the thing is, like, you've worked your bullpen to death because you're starting pitching.
I mean, then the other choice is to try to trust Yuki Matsui to get one more out there.
How's that going to go?
I don't know. I mean, then it's back to what you say. It's on the pitchers to be more effective and the players to get the job done.
It's tough. It's a tough thing to do, and it's going to boggle my mind for eternity that a guy can't throw a pitch, then walk out and throw 17.
Estrada had been used two straight games, correct?
Yep.
So he was probably down for the game yesterday.
I thought Kolek did a nice job.
You could have stuck with Kolek for another inning. I think we all would have ripped Mike Shildt.
We would have
Kolek had given it up in the eighth after they'd taken the lead. Why didn't you go to one of your higher leverage arms and you left Kolek out there?
Estrada had thrown 16 pitches on Monday. So
Yeah,
that's
he might have been down yesterday.
Been down.
I don't know.
Burrito? You know. How about Burrito? Threw 42 on Sunday. It's just, look, man, they're worked right now. Matsui back-to-back days has not been super effective. Yeah, and y'all threw two pitches last night. Two. Got out of the inning, then gave up the home run.
Well, should
I
be,
feel like
should be available today. Then
I feel like that is just a weird anomaly.
But if
I
he is available, Barry, like, just try to bring him in at the start of an inning for once. And
I feel, or just let him close the inning and go to
and
somebody
then
else.
Go to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a very taxed bullpen that really needs a big start from Dylan Cease today. No pressure.
There were some big time positives. We'll get into those
huge.
From the game last night. Even
Woods. Woods.
All right, Take On Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's see. John, are you calling in for Take On Woods?
I am. Good morning.
All right, John, you are a contestant today. Good luck. This week and this week only, we are playing for a $25 gift card to Carl's Jr. The El Diablo Burger is back at Carl's Jr. for eternity. I guess that's the opposite of a limited time only. With a potato bun, charbroiled beef, a spicy habanero sauce, bacon, jalapeno popper bites, pepper jack cheese, and jalapenos. Try it now. All right, if you beat our Ty Woods, we'll send you to Carl's Jr. Here are the categories today. We've got song and dance since 2000. You just heard the 80s version yesterday. This is an all 2 second song category featuring songs from this millennium with the word dance in the title. We've got Double Trouble. Those are five bands with double words in their name. And we've got our new category, A View to a Killer. The word killer, key in all the questions and answers in that one.
Sounds like a Netflix documentary.
It does, doesn't it? Song and dance from this millennium, Double Trouble, or A View to a Killer. John, what would you like to play?
Go song and dance.
Oh, another 2 second song category, back to back, getting them both out of the way. All right. Just like yesterday, which was songs from the 80s, these are songs from 2000 and beyond that all include the word dance in the title. Paulie's got all of them queued up. You're going to have to identify them both by title and artist to score the point. You'll go first. Woods
John,
will go
this
second.
Is smart. Woods is going to hate this category.
I do think this will be a much tougher one for him than the 80s one was yesterday. So, John, are you ready to play?
Ready to do it.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Again, the category is song and dance. Your time begins when we play our first 2 second song. Good luck, John. Let's take on Woods.
Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon.
Correct. Song number two.
Just Dance by Lady Gaga.
Correct. Song number three. She says she's no good
with words, but I'm worse. Dance, Dance, Fall Out Boy.
Wow. Song number four. I hope you never lose your
sense of wonder. I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack.
Very nice. And for the sweep.
Dance the Night Away by Dua Lipa.
You are
Boom! So
good. You've already won. Woods has no hope in beating you today. I've never had this situation before. I'm just curious how badly John is going to win today. Nice job, John. Enjoy your Carl's Jr.
I will give Woods a two.
Two. I'm going under. I'm going under. Let's bring Woods
Walk
in.
The Moon right. And Leanne Womack.
All right. I'm going to go under. John's score is locked in.
Say Yon?
John.
Oh, John. It was Yon Gomes, maybe.
Just like yesterday, it's all 2 second songs again.
Oh, God. Here we go. Jeez. Stepping it up.
Strap in, Woods.
All right.
Get your camera all set. I want to see all your reactions on this one.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to be happy. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on John.
Shut Up and Dance, Walk the Moon.
Correct. Song number two.
Pass.
Song number three. She says she's no good
with words, but I'm worse. Pass.
Song number four. I hope you never lose your sense of
wonder. What the? Pass.
Song number five.
Oh, boy. Maybe you
could find me under the light. I have no idea.
I know. Song number two.
Is this that? Is that Poker Face by Lady Gaga? That's the only thing it sounds
Lady
like.
Lady Gaga. Ah. It's not Poker Face. No. She says she's no good
with words, but I would the category have helped me?
Maybe a little. I don't know. Probably not. Probably not.
Was it vapid pop songs?
It's the time almost up here, Molly. You are going down as I win.
In flames.
I picked
is
under
that Leanne Rimes, I Hope You Dance.
It's Leanne Womack, but I Hope You Dance. That was Paulie thought you'd get that one, and he thought you'd get Shut Up and Dance, which you did. Just Dance by Lady Gaga, Dance by Fall Out Boy, and Dance the Night by Dua Lipa. By a score of 5-1, John has come up with the biggest route in the history of Take on Woods, at least on his side. That was Song and Dance just like yesterday, except these were all from the year 2000 and beyond, which makes it much tougher for someone of our age, 48, to try to get the answers right. John, great job. Paul, I'll get your information. That was an epic performance. That was tough, though, for us.
Very, very difficult.
Very difficult category, and John made it sound
easy. Now you know my weak spot.
There you go. All right, we'll come back. We have some great audio for you on Don't Do This Today. Also from MLB Network again. We've been discussing them a lot this morning.
Love the announcer's jinx.
Oh, big time. Big time. That is coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by SafeLight, cracked windshield. Go to safelight.com now to schedule your free mobile service. Let SafeLight come to you. That's safelight.com. Conditions may apply. And Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. We have an audio-heavy Don't Do This, and the first clip comes from last night's MLB Network whip-around coverage. They were going to the Dodgers-Marlins game, the start of it, and they thought they'd get all clever. Greg Amsinger hosting at the desk, and he said, hey, you know what? Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the mound. The Marlins are terrible. Let's try something clever.
Don't take this the wrong way, but we are already a no-hitter alert. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, before he throws a single pitch tonight against the Marlins, we have a no-hitter alert.
Okay.
Enjoy what could be a no-hitter from Yamamoto.
You know jazz when your first pitch.
Right here on MLB Network for Harold. See why I'm Greg. We have a no-hitter alert. Enjoy this game live on MLB Network.
Boy, you're crazy.
It's in the major leagues to establish himself as that guy. Dodgers looking for a sixth straight win and a 13th out of their last 15 after they took the first game 6-3 last night. Yamamoto comes home and off we go. The aggressive Marlins get a first pitch swing and a high fly ball and a home run for Jazz Chisholm on the first pitch.
So, I mean, normally you go no-hitter alert, what, seventh inning and beyond? But they thought, oh, come on, Dodgers, Yamamoto, this may be one of those, you can see it coming from a mile away. The Marlins aren't going to get a hit tonight. First pitch of the game.
Loved it.
Jazz Chisholm goes deep, and Greg Amsinger has some egg on his face. He was laughing about it, obviously.
It's a good
the
bit.
Big-time announcer jinx there and turning a no-hitter into a first pitch home run by the Marlins. Unfortunately, it went downhill from there. As the Dodgers went on to an 8-2 win, Max Muncy hit a grand slam. They had 8 runs on 3 hits in the first 3 innings.
That's super weird.
Marlins gave them a couple of freebies on the way, and the Dodgers now lead the NL West all of a sudden by 6.5 games the San Diego Padres. They remain in second place, but
very cool to see things working out for them, you know? Right?
Yeah, cool.
Very cool. This was one of my favorite moments of the year so far last night. Rex Hudler, who calls games for the Kansas City Royals, I do believe. And, he had an interesting way of putting something. And his partner, I think, was giggling with the microphone off for about 30 seconds. So listen to how uncomfortable this is.
And then you drop the deuce on the outside part of the plate. That big curveball, nice, right out of the zone, just like you like. Just like you like it.
Just like you like it. His partner sitting there, silent. Still sitting. Not a word.
up the left field line, and Velasquez makes a play. Just to clarify, a deuce is a curveball. Yeah, that's two. And then you drop the deuce on the outside part of the plate. Yeah. That big curveball, nice, right out of the zone, just like you like it.
He said curveball.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. He knew.
I can't help but think of the umpire with his little broom.
Dropping the deuce. Yeah, like, all right, I got to clean this up.
That's not going to help me.
And then you drop the deuce on the outside part of the plate. That big curveball, nice, right out of the zone, just like you like it.
Just like you like it is my favorite part. Love that.
Just to clarify, a deuce is a curveball.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, two.
Yeah, so funny.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this on a Wednesday.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Did you see this story, Woods? The WNBA has announced they are committing $25 million a year, $50 million over the next 2 years so that their players may fly on chartered private planes as opposed to just flying commercial, which is what they have done for the entire history of the league. So a bit of equality, women versus the men. NBA have been flying charter for years. There were some safety concerns. A video dropped of just Caitlin Clark at an airport recently, and they go, oh, this could be kind of a nightmare if we're just flying commercial and she's sitting there, you know, in security lines and waiting 2 hours before her flight. So they have stepped up with a huge investment, which is a good thing. That's a doo-doo this for sure for the WNBA. But I did a little bit of math just to dig a little bit deeper. So $25 million is what they say it costs to ferry around all the players for an entire season. There are 12 teams in the WNBA. Each team has 12 players. So I know there's support staff and stuff who are also on the flight. But if you work that out per player, per season, they're going to be spending about $170,000 per player per season on chartered air travel. The reason that's interesting is that the average salary in the WNBA is actually less than that. The rookie salary is way less, but even the average salary for every player is only about $130,000 to $140,000. So they're going to be spending more money on travel than they are on the actual salaries for the players. Now, if I'm a WNBA player, I'm like, thanks a lot, but I'd actually rather you just double my salary and we'll keep flying Delta commercial.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a great perk. It certainly is. Who wouldn't want to fly private if you had the chance to do so? But when you realize your company is spending more on moving you around to your different work sites than they are on actually paying you a wage to play, I think the WNBA is going to have another issue on their hands when people do this math and go, wait, you're spending more on travel than you are on the actual players in the league this season.
Yeah, that's a problem, I think.
I think that
would be the first thing I thought of. It's like, I'm making $40,000, but it's cool that I get to fly private to Indianapolis and Dallas and whatnot, but why don't you give me $100,000 and I'll fly Delta? It's no question in my mind what I would choose.
I think anyone who travels for business knows how nice the upgrades and, you know, an occasional private flight would be. But if you're going, if it's coming at the expense of what I'm actually making, I'd rather make more money than get the perks at this point.
It's like having a ping pong table, you know? It's a nice perk, but I'd rather just have the money.
Can we sell the ping pong table?
We could. Yeah. We'll whack it up between us. Fine by me.
It's gone one day.
$30 each?
So, yeah, $30 each. All right, we have a ping pong table for sale, the Odyssey ping pong table. You wanted it, it's yours, actually. I'll pay you to take it.
We can give it away at
The Christmas and holiday extravaganza.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
And that is Don't and Do This for Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
You know what? I wonder...
my kryptonite.
I bet Adam Jones didn't come out at the end of games much for defensive replacements.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe he came in occasionally when he wasn't starting.
I bet he did.
He was too good on defense. I wonder if he's got some thoughts about Mike Schilt and Jerks and Profar and taking them out. He's going to join us, our weekly conversation.
He was hyped on the acquisition of Luis Arraez.
Oh, good. We'll talk about that as well with AJ when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covering everything going on with the Padres at 97.3thefansd.com. The Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, Sammy is about 2.5 hours away from this morning's EcoWater SoCal pregame show. We got early baseball from the Windy City coming up. Right now, though, after traffic, AJ is going to join us. It's an Adam Jones Wednesday next here on 97.3 The Fan. California. Huh. Well, I mean,
that was something.
With all, you know, we play Tupac for Adam Jones, all the rap beef in the news this week. Apparently, Adam Jones choosing violence to start this morning. As Paulie said, he just called us a bunch of crybabies before he came on the air. So, that's fine.
He goes, oh, how you guys doing? I'm like, yeah, we're good. Last night.
You don't want me to drop a diss track on you, AJ. Believe me. Good morning.
How you guys doing? Hey, man, look it. It's a long game, long season. Hey, you guys got to Imanaga. Nobody has touched him all
year.
That's
true.
That's why you want to win more. That's why it hurts more, Adam.
Of course. I'm positive dude. And, you know, hey, how you guys like Arise already over in the Padres uniform?
We like him a lot, man. It's a totally different type of guy to watch hit, and I loved watching him hit in Minnesota. I love watching him hit with the Marlins. I really love watching him hit for the Padres.
But I love his attitude.
Yeah,
see, that's you don't
attitude.
Know that. You see him hit. You see the highlights all the time. Oh, great bat to ball skills. But when you see him firing up his teammates,
awesome.
That's something I didn't really know about Adam.
Yeah. Do you think that he? I mean, I was like since he's involved now in, and again, another pennant race, a bigger payroll, I should say, team, because last year they were in the playoffs. But do you think that, like, you know, his production RBI-wise can be higher because, you know, he's on a team that is a better team, I believe?
Yeah, we kicked that around yesterday. I mean, he's just, for me, like, I totally understand wanting to leave him in the leadoff spot, right? A guy that can hit anybody, right? You know, righty, lefty, uses the whole field. Just, it changes the pitcher's plan immediately. Like, if you're the starting pitcher, you go, oh, God, this is not going to be some light-hitting speedster. Like, I've got to really, really attack. And next thing you know, he's standing on first base. And you're like, all right, now I got to deal with Tatis. So I think leaving him at the top is good. But I do wonder, the bat to ball, Adam's so good. Maybe the two, maybe even the three hole. You know, if
what about four?
What about four?
I just thought about, what about, why? I mean, the reason being is, like, again, you're hitting behind Manny, Profar, Tatis, Cronenworth, like those guys that are on base with athleticism that, again, defense, he's not going to make the defense back up. But you got guys that can run the bases and have speed.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, like, why not have him hit with us in a spot that, because he is really good notoriously in his career with men in scoring position, why not put him in that situation a lot, and especially a situation that the team has struggled in?
100%. And I do feel, though, like, you couldn't, we said this earlier, I know you were hyped about the move, and we are too. You know, if you put him on the White Sox, I don't know that they get immediately better. If you put him on certain teams, he is a natural, perfect fit for the San Diego Padres in their lineup. That's it. I mean, he's just a great, great fit here, and I thought it was a really, really good trade. And did want to ask you, like, watching Imanaga pitch last night, of course the casual baseball fan looks, and they go, psh, psh. 91. I mean, come on, guys. What's happening? Guys out there. I saw so many tweets going, this guy's out there throwing BP and we're swinging through it. No. Guys like that are massively frustrating. What is it about a guy like that? And who in your career, you know, who does he remind you of? The stuff, the location, all that?
Well, I got to face him over in Japan.
Oh, that's right. That's
right.
I got
to see him firsthand. And he has, I mean, his ball has that true life. You know, they say it doesn't rise. Well, his ball doesn't dip. And he's got good location. Again, it looks like nice and easy, but his motion, it's going to take time for Americans to get, or just MLB guys to get used to that. And again, you could say 91. You're sitting on your couch there, Hoss.
100%.
Everything was easy. Everything was easy sitting on your couch. But no, even Naka's got good stuff in that split. It's good. You know what? You know who he reminds me of? I'm gonna take you back, Sterling Hitchcock.
Oh,
that was
a
91 puss ball right there, but he got people out.
Same kind of attitude too. Like he's got that kind of big D energy. Like he's got that thing when he's on the mound. He really attacks the zone and guys just. I mean, man, he looked like get me out of here, man. It looked like he had a hole in his bat swinging under 91 mile an hour four seamers. It was wild.
It plays higher. That's 91, that's 94, 95, yep. But it has a different life that he's never seen before. And if he is, don't worry, because it's like when they faced Yamamoto. And, you know, the first time they hit him, obviously, in Korea. But then the second time they hit him again. And, you know, it's just like when you see guys, you know, you just have a tendency just to light them up. And lefties are definitely different than righties. So it's just going to take time for MLB to get used to him. I think he's going to be good, but again, he ain't going to sit at no 0.5 ERA.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's like that. Same with Yamamoto. He's, you know, there's just no one's doing that.
One of the big buzzwords in pitching nowadays, Adam, and something that Imanaga does really well is tunneling. Now, I don't know what they called it when you started playing. I don't remember hearing that term before, but it's always existed. It's the ability of the pitcher to throw basically a pitch that looks exactly the same to a hitter halfway to the plate. And then sometimes it drops down, sometimes it breaks the other way. When you're a batter and you're facing a guy who tunnels really well, what's your instinct there at the plate knowing this pitch looked just like the last one, but did something completely different?
Man, that's like from one of those movies. That's like For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner or something. He's like, tunnel it. Yeah, tunnel it. He's trying to throw that no-hitter.
Clear the
something
mechanism.
Something like that. Like, I mean, hey, there you go. Look, baseball is 12 minutes of concentration, okay? Get in the box, focus, get ready. Like, stop trying. You're trying to, you know, mastermind all these things like that. This is about to happen real quick. Try and slow it down. Enjoy the moment. And get it over with. There's no, you know, I mean, they're trying to bring too many people into sports, into everything. It's like, we don't need astrophysicists. Sometimes we do. If you're breaking down the numbers in certain ways, yes, bring the astrophysicists and all that stuff. But don't bring that to talk about relaxation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Were you?
And don't bring them on the field.
Were you would you consider yourself a cerebral hitter? Like, did you get up there? Like when
I think I know what he's going to throw next.
Yeah,
you know,
I can expect to. And that's the thing about the big leagues, man. It's just so different. You know, I've been telling my son who's six, buddy, 2-0 for the rest of your life. For the next 15 years, you're going to see fastballs. All right, so 2-0, be ready to eat. And if somebody throws a curveball or slider at you, tip your hat and walk away. The big leagues is different. You
call them names, too.
Yeah, call them names. You get a 2-0 slider. You get a 2-0 changeup. It's so hard. When you went up there, did you let your head go to that place, or were you more of like, see it, try to recognize it, put the swing on it?
I did both. Well, obviously, I'm looking heater. But at the same time, it's like, look, man, if the pitcher got there and you got 2-0, it's like, look, you want to see that, you know, you want to act tough and stuff like that. Like, well, give me the heater. You got the 2-0, give me the heater. You want to be tough? Give me the heater. Like people got mad at hitters swinging 3-0. Well, look, you threw a 2-0 slider, you chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course I'm going. That's the only fastball I think I'm going to see, because 3-1, I'm sure you're going to throw another slider.
I love it.
And I remember the stories. Remember Santiago Casilla closing for the Giants? I'm in AAA, and this is 06. He sees me in the cage. He's like, you pop him tonight. One fastball, two fastball, three fastball, strikeout. I said, you going to throw me three straight fastballs? I said, you promise. Three straight fastballs. He said, okay. He got 2-0. He threw 96-8 this ball so damn far to dead center field. And I said, hey, Poppy, gracias for three fastballs. I'm trotting around these damn bases. Right. Now even later in his career, he threw the slider late in the count, good cutter that he had.
Oh, yeah.
No one's throwing fastballs anymore, man.
Except Suarez. Robert Suarez.
Throwing less.
Robert Suarez is the only one.
Suarez throws a lot of heaters.
He just says, I'm throwing.
And he throws 100.
Yep.
Throw it. I mean, thing is he needs to elevate that thing a little bit more sometimes. Like the low fastballs. Low fastballs, people can hit, unfortunately. And low fastballs, high fastballs, that's a hard fastball to hit. Raise that thing, raise your mind, and hit somebody. Damn it.
That's so good.
Adam Jones is with us. Now, Jurickson Profar went down and got one of those splitters for the two-run home run off Imanaga in the eighth inning. And then he got taken out for defensive purposes for Jose Azokar. And it may have come back to burn the Padres in the ninth after the Cubs tied it. His spot came up in the order. They had guys on base, and he wasn't there. One of the hottest hitters in baseball. You probably never had to worry about getting taken out for defensive reasons at the end of the game, but we see it more often now. Is that a strategic mistake by Mike Shildt in taking out Jurickson Profar, who's not a bad left fielder at all, to try to get a speedier guy in a Azokar in there, but it's still a close game, and he might come up again.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a tough one, especially, you know, he, you know, hitting a home run early in the inning too. Like, I see if he hit it with two outs, you know, and then the inning ended right away.
Yeah.
There's a chance that you're not going to come up because you got seven or eight hitters. But when you have a home run early in the inning and then, you know, three guys go, there is a chance if a rally happens that you get a chance to come back up. And that's always a tough one. I mean, obviously, Azokar is a better defender, but is he that much better?
And to be fair, Azokar was already in, so he moved over. They actually brought Maryland. They brought in a guy who hasn't even played that much in center field to take out Profar. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Who did they bring in?
They brought in Merrill, put him in the center, and moved Azokar over to left.
Yeah.
So that means that Merrill got that at bat.
Merrill got
the at bat, and I was confident that he had a chance. But you know, coming cold off the bench, yeah. It's hard. It's a hard job to do, especially for a rookie.
Of course, right. Well, of course. I mean, that's a better job suited for
Jurickson,
Azokar, who's done it, and Jurickson for sure.
Yep.
That is tough. I would leave it how it is. But again, I'm not a manager. These are decisions that again are way higher than my payroll. So it's always like when you see the move made, you're like, okay, hey, Jurickson, you had your game. Let's just wrap this up defensively. We got six outs to get. Hopefully these pitchers dominate and attack the zone and we ain't got to worry about nothing. You're not thinking about them tying the game.
Yeah,
you're thinking about six outs and solely staying on top. I mean, the other side of it. But you have to think about that also.
And defense, it's so massively important. It's so massively important. But that, like you said, though, like pro, you trust him to go out and get a fly ball in the gap. You trust him to be able to, you know, keep it in front of him, make a throw. Like, there's nothing, it's not so glaring because you do lose his spot and he did come up there. And yeah, it was kind of a bummer to see, but it's happened all year. I mean, he's been pulled in the sixth, in the seventh. And, you know, if you're Profar, you're like, bro, the way I'm swinging
stop taking him out.
Don't take me out.
Like, hey, well, you need to find another position for him then. Put him at. DH or go out early work and work on your defense. Work on what you ain't good at so they don't pull your ass out.
Yep.
Did you?
If they're pulling you, they say, there's a reason why they're pulling you out. So just like, hey, man, what am I sucking at?
He's not a bad fielder.
No,
he's
I'm saying they have the information on what you can improve on and all that kind of thing. So if they're pulling you out, there's an obvious reason. So just like, look, what can I improve on that can keep my ass in this game longer because I'm tired of getting pulled out? Like, those are, you can legitimately just go to them because the data is unbelievable. And they say, well, moving to your right with two strikes, and you're like, what? But that's what they're going to tell you.
Did you like playing at Wrigley Field? Obviously, you probably didn't get a ton of chances to do it from the AL, no, but was it special or was it not something that you enjoyed? Bleacher bums and
No. It was special. Okay. It was my Fenway. I think it's the National League's Fenway.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they get to go there. It's just historical. Obviously, I went there before the renovations and after the renovations, so I got to see the dump and the Band-Aid that they got to put over it. The home side is absolutely amazing. They redid that and put, you know, it's not even attached to the ballpark, and the clubhouse is in that building next across the street. So it's unbelievable what they did. But, no, it's a historical park, and you just know all the games that have went on there, all the players that have went on there. I remember, you know, watching those home run derbies back in the day with Harmon Killebrew, and they used to always do them at Wrigley. So it's just a historical ballpark, and again, I think it's the National League's Fenway, and just again, the footsteps have been there, have been through there, the pitches, the no hitters, the 20 game strikeouts, Sammy Sosa running out there 9/11 after that. So I think there's just been so many historical moments there, and obviously, you know, them winning the championship after 108 years really boosted that whole entire area. So I don't know if you've been there recently, but it is a fantastic area, and they've done a really good job.
Not for me, not in a while. It's
I
been
went
like
last
30
year.
Years. Ever crashed into the ivy just quickly?
I have, and you know, I went out there before BP, and I was like feeling it because I knew it was tough. But I'm like, look, depending on the inning, if it's the first, it's going to be a double. If it's the eighth, it is what it is.
Well, Ian Happ made that decision too yesterday. It's like, that's the ninth inning. I better make this catch, and
great play.
We'll see if I run into it. AJ, appreciate it as always. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys too.
There he is, Adam Jones. Yeah, first inning. Yeah, I don't need to run into that brick wall behind.
Got nine more, eight more innings to play.
You know, It's not fun running into a plant either. It's like the double trouble. The plants and then the brick wall behind the plants just seems like the worst for outfielders.
I was so bummed. Sugar almost had it, man. Like that knock for Sugar in the gap, that was such an incredible play by Ian Happ. I mean, it was such an incredible.
I had no thought that it was going to be caught.
I didn't know it was going to go out.
I didn't know if it was going to go out. No one had a chance to catch that ball. And then he puts his glove up and it's in the glove. And I go, no.
I couldn't believe it, man.
You listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covering everything going on with the Padres at 97.3thefansd.com. The Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, Sammy is about 2.5 hours away from this morning's EcoWater SoCal pregame show. We got early baseball from the Windy City coming up. Right now, though, after traffic, AJ is going to join us. It's an Adam Jones Wednesday next here on 97.3 The Fan.
That was something.
With all, you know, we play Tupac for Adam Jones, all the rap beef in the news this week. Apparently, Adam Jones choosing violence to start this morning. As Paulie said, he just called us a bunch of crybabies before he came on the air. So, that's fine.
He goes, oh, how you guys doing? I'm like, yeah, we're good. Last night.
You don't want me to drop a diss track on you, AJ. Believe me. Good morning.
How you guys doing? Hey, man, look, it's a long game, long season. Hey, you guys got to Imanaga. Nobody has touched him all year.
That's true.
That's why you want to win more. That's why it hurts more, Adam.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But, you know, I'm positive dude. And, you know, hey, how do you guys like Arise already over in the Padres uniform?
We like him a lot, man. It's a totally different type of guy to watch hit, and I loved watching him hit in Minnesota. I love watching him hit with the Marlins. I really love watching him hit for the Padres.
But I love his attitude.
Yeah,
see, that's you don't know that. You see him hit. You see the highlights all the time. Oh, great bat to ball skills. But when you see him firing up his teammates, awesome. That's something I didn't really know about Adam.
Yeah. Do you think that he? I mean, I was like since he's involved now in, and again, another pennant race, a bigger payroll, I should say, team, because last year they were in the playoffs. But do you think that, like, you know, his production RBI-wise can be higher because, you know, he's on a team that is a better team, I believe?
Yeah, we kicked that around yesterday. I mean, he's just, for me, like, I totally understand wanting to leave him in the leadoff spot, right? A guy that can hit anybody, right? You know, righty, lefty, uses the whole field. Just, it changes the pitcher's plan immediately. Like, if you're the starting pitcher, you go, oh God, this is not going to be some light hitting speedster. Like, I've got to really, really attack. And next thing you know, he's standing on first base. And you're like, all right, now I got to deal with Tatis. So I think leaving him at the top is good. But I do wonder, the bat to ball, Adam's so good. Maybe the two, maybe even the three hole. You know, if
what about four?
What about four?
I just thought about, what about, why? I mean, the reason being is that, again, you're hitting behind Manny, Profar, Tatis, Cronenworth, like those guys that are on base with athleticism that, again, defense, he's not going to make the defense back up. But you got guys that can run the bases and have speed.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, why not have him hit with us in a spot that, because he is really good notoriously in his career with men in scoring position, why not put him in that situation a lot, and especially a situation that the team has struggled in?
100%. And I do feel, though, like you couldn't, we said this earlier, I know you were hyped about the move, and we are too. You know, if you put him on the White Sox, I don't know that they get immediately better. If you put him on certain teams, he is a natural, perfect fit for the San Diego Padres in their lineup. That's it. I mean, he's just a great, great fit here. And I thought it was a really, really good trade. And did want to ask you, like, watching Imanaga pitch last night, of course, the casual baseball fan looks and they go, 91. I mean, come on, guys. What's happening? Guys out there. I saw so many tweets going, this guy's out there throwing BP and we're swinging through it. No. Guys like that are massively frustrating. What is it about a guy like that? And who in your career, you know, who does he remind you of? The stuff, the location, all that?
Well, I got to face him over in Japan.
Oh, that's so right. That's
right. I
got
right. to see him firsthanded. And he has, I mean, his ball has that true life. You know, they say it doesn't rise. Well, his ball doesn't dip. And he's got good location. Again, it looks like nice and easy, but his motion, it's going to take time for Americans to get, or just MLB guys to get used to that. And again, you can say 91. You're sitting on your couch there, Hoss.
100%.
Everything was easy. Everything was easy sitting on your couch. But no, Imanaga's got good stuff in that split. It's good. You know what? You know who it reminds me of? I'm going to take you back. Sterling Hitchcock.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a 91 puss ball right there, but he got people out.
Same kind of attitude too. Like he's got that kind of, he's got that like kind of big D energy. Like he's got that thing when he's on the mound. He really attacks the zone and guys just. I mean, man, he looked like get me out of here, man. It looked like he had a hole in his bat swinging under 91 mile an hour four seamers. It was wild.
It plays higher. That 91. That's 94, 95. Yep. But it has a different life that he's never seen before. And if he is, don't worry. Because it's like when they faced Yamamoto, and you know the first time they hit him obviously in Korea, but then the second time they hit him again, and you know it's just like when you see guys, you know you just have a tendency just to light them up, and lefties are definitely different than righties, so it's just going to take time for MLB to get used to him. I think he's going to be good, but again, he ain't going to sit at no 0.5 ERA.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's like that. Same with Yamamoto. He's, you know, there's just no one's doing that.
One of the big buzzwords in pitching nowadays, Adam, and something that Imanaga does really well is tunneling. Now, I don't know what they called it when you started playing. I don't remember hearing that term before, but it's always existed. It's the ability of the pitcher to throw basically a pitch that looks exactly the same to a hitter halfway to the plate. And then sometimes it drops down, sometimes it breaks the other way. When you're a batter and you're facing a guy who tunnels really well, what's your instinct there at the plate knowing this pitch looked just like the last one, but did something completely different?
Man, that's like from one of those movies. That's like For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner or something. He's like, tunnel it. Yeah, tunnel it. He's trying to throw that no-hitter.
Clear the
something
mechanism.
Something like that. Like, I mean, hey, there you go. Look, baseball is 12 minutes of concentration, okay? Get in the box, focus, get ready. Like, stop trying. They're trying to, you know, mastermind all these things like that. This is about to happen real quick. Try and slow it down. Enjoy the moment. And get it over with. They're trying to bring too many people into sports, into everything. It's like, we don't need astrophysicists. Sometimes we do. If you're breaking down the numbers in certain ways, yes, bring the astrophysicists and all that stuff. But don't bring that to talk about relaxation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Were you?
And don't bring them on the field.
Were you would you consider yourself a cerebral hitter? Like, did you get up there? Like when
I think I know what he's going to throw next.
Yeah,
you know,
I can expect and that's the thing about the big leagues, man. It's just so different. You know, I've been telling my son who's six, buddy, 2-0 for the rest of your life. For the next 15 years, you're going to see fastballs. All right, so 2-0, be ready to eat. And if somebody throws a curveball or slider at you, tip your hat and walk away. Big leagues is different. You
call them names, too.
Yeah, call them names. You get a 2-0 slider. You get a 2-0 changeup. It's so hard. When you went up there, did you let your head go to that place, or were you more of like, see it, try to recognize it, put the swing on it?
I did both. Well, obviously, I'm looking heater. But at the same time, it's like, look, man, if the pitcher got there and he got 2-0, it's like, look, you want to see that, you know, you want to act tough and stuff like that. Like, well, give me the heater. You got the 2-0, give me the heater. You want to be tough? Give me the heater. Like people got mad at hitters swinging 3-0. Well, look, you threw a 2-0 slider, you chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, I'm going. That's the only fastball I think I'm going to see because 3-1, I'm sure he's going to throw another slider.
I love it.
And I remember the stories. Remember Santiago Casillas closing for the Giants? I'm in AAA. This is 06. He sees me in the cage. He's like, "You poppy tonight? One fastball, two fastball, three fastball, strikeout." I said, "You going to throw me three straight fastballs?" I said, "You promise three straight fastballs." He said, "Okay." He got 2-0. He threw 96 at this ball so damn far to dead center field. And I said, "Hey, Poppy, gracias for three fastballs." I'm trotting around these damn bases. Right. Now, even later in his career, he threw the slider late in the count, good cutter that he had.
Oh, yeah.
No one's throwing fastballs anymore, man.
Except Suarez. Robert Suarez. Robert Suarez is the only one.
Suarez throws a lot of heaters.
He just says, I'm throwing.
He throws 100.
Yep.
Throw it. I mean, thing is he needs to elevate that thing a little bit more
sometimes.
Like, the low fastballs. Low fastball, see if we can hit, unfortunately. And low fastball, high fastball, that's a hard fastball to hit. Raise that thing, raise your mind, and hit somebody. Damn it.
That's so good.
Adam Jones is with us. Now, Jurickson and Profar went down and got one of those splitters for the two-run home run off Imanaga mm-hmm. in the eighth inning. And then he got taken out for defensive purposes for Jose Azokar. And it may have come back to burn the Padres in the ninth after the Cubs tied it. His spot came up in the order. They had guys on base, and he wasn't there. One of the hottest hitters in baseball. You probably never had to worry about getting taken out for defensive reasons at the end of the game. But we see it more often now. Is that a strategic mistake by Mike Shildt in taking out Jurickson Profar, who's not a bad left fielder at all, to try to get a speedier guy in a Azokar in there, but it's still a close game and he might come up again?
He did.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a tough one, especially, hitting a home run early in the inning too. Like, I see if he hit it with two outs, and then the inning ended right away.
Yeah.
There's a chance that you're not going to come up, because you got seven or eight hitters. But when you have a home run early in the inning and then, three guys go, there is a chance if a rally happens that you get a chance to come back up. And that's always a tough one. I mean, obviously, Azokar is a better defender, but is he that much better?
And to be fair, Azokar was already in, so he moved over. They actually brought Maryland. They brought in a guy who hasn't even hit that much in center field to take out Profar. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Who did they bring in?
They brought in Merrill, put him in the center, and moved Azokar over to left.
Yeah.
So that means that Merrill got that at bat.
Merrill got the at bat, and I was confident that he had a chance. But coming cold off the bench, it's hard. It's a hard job to do, especially for a rookie.
Of course, right. Well, of course. I mean, that's a better job suited for
Jurickson,
Azokar, who's done it, and Jurickson for sure.
Yep.
That is tough. I would leave it how it is, but again, I'm not a manager. These are decisions that, again, are way higher than my payroll. So it's always like when you see the move made, you're like, okay, hey, Jurickson, you had your game. Let's just wrap this up defensively. We got six outs to get. Hopefully these pitchers dominate and attack the zone, and we ain't got to worry about nothing. You're not thinking about them tying the game.
Yeah,
you're thinking about six outs and solely staying on top. I mean, the other side of it. But you have to think about that also.
And defense is it's so massively important. It's so massively important. But that, like you said, though, like Pro, you trust him to go out and get a fly ball in the gap. You trust him to be able to, keep it in front of him, make a throw. Like, there's nothing, it's not so glaring, because you do lose his spot, and he did come up there. And, it was kind of a bummer to see. But it's happened all year. I mean, he's been pulled in the sixth, in the seventh. And, if you're Pro Far, you're like, bro, the way I'm swinging,
stop taking him out.
Don't take me out.
Well, you need to find another position for him then. Put him in. DH, and or go out early, work and work on your defense. Work on what you ain't good at, so they don't pull your ass out.
Yep.
Did you?
If they pull your base, say, if there's a reason why they're pulling you out, so just be like, hey man, what am I sucking at?
He's not a bad fielder.
No,
he's
They have the information on what you can improve on and all that kind of thing. So if they're pulling you out, there's an obvious reason. So just like, look, what can I improve on that can keep my ass in this game longer, because I'm tired of getting pulled out? Like, you can legitimately just go to them, because the data is unbelievable. And they say, well, moving to your right with two strikes, and you're like, what? But that's what they're going to tell you.
Did you like playing at Wrigley Field? Obviously, you probably didn't get a ton of chances to do it from the AL, but was it special, or was it not something that you enjoyed? Bleacher bums
No. It was special. Okay. It was my Fenway. I think it's the National League's Fenway.
Yeah.
Where, they get to go there. And it's just historical. Obviously, I went there before the renovations and after the renovations, so I got to see the dump and the Band-Aid that they got to put over it. The home side is absolutely amazing. They redid that and put, it's not even attached to the ballpark, and the clubhouse is in that building next across the street. So it's unbelievable what they did. But no, it's a historical park, and you just know all the games that have went on there, all the players that have went on there. I remember, watching those home run derbies back in the day with Harmon Killebrew.
Yep.
And they used to always do them at Wrigley. So it's just a historical ballpark, and again, I think it's the National League's Fenway, and just again, the footsteps have been there, have been through there, the pitches, the no hitters, the 20 game strikeouts, Sammy Sosa running out there 9/11 after that. So I think there's just been so many historical moments there, and obviously, them winning the championship after 108 years, really, really boosted that whole entire area. So it, I don't know if you've been there recently, but it is a fantastic area, and they've done a really good job.
Not for me, not in a while. It's
I
been
went
like 30
year.
Years. Ever crashed into the ivy just quickly?
I have, and you know, I went out there before BP, and I was like feeling it because I knew it was tough. But I'm like, look, if it, depending on the inning, if it's the first, it's going to be a double. If it's the eighth, it is what it is.
Well, Ian Happ made that decision too yesterday. It's like, that's the ninth inning. I better make this catch, and
great play.
We'll see if I run into it. AJ, appreciate it as
Thank
always.
You,
have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys too.
There appreciate is Adam it. Jones. Yeah, first inning. Yeah, I don't need to run into that brick wall behind the.
Got eight more innings to play.
You know, it's not fun running into a plant either. It's like the double trouble. The plants and then the brick wall behind the plants just seems like the worst for outfielders.
I was so bummed. Sugar almost had it, man. Like that knock for Sugar in the gap, that was such an incredible play by Ian Happ. I mean, it was such an incredible.
I had no thought that it was going to be caught.
I didn't know
it was going to go out.
I didn't know
clearly,
if it was going
to
go
no
out.
No one had a chance to catch that ball. And then he puts his glove up and it's in the glove. And I go, no.
I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it. I was
Nico
so stoked.
Nico Horner catching that one on Bogarts would have been an insurance run.
I think they said that was .890 expected batting average on that one. Nico made a hell of a play. Again, you know, some soft contact from Xander Bogarts. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in this lineup that got to get it going. And listen, we've been saying all year, the stars got to play like stars. Manny and Xander last night did not. Somebody said, you better rip Ha-Sung Kim tomorrow. Ha-Sung Kim needs to hit better. Period. He has to. He cannot continue at the pace that he's on right now. I don't know what's wrong with Ha-Sung Kim, but yeah, man, you're absolutely right. He needs to hit better. I don't. He doesn't get a pass either. You know, certainly, and you know, you wonder if the impending free agency is hanging over his head. I have no idea. He just doesn't look.
Thought you were supposed to play your best when you're about to be a free agent.
I know. I thought so too.
Juan Soto.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, man. Just. But for me, it falls down to the $30 million men. That's what it comes down to.
As I said earlier, though, there were some positives, undoubtedly, in that game
last
night.
We haven't even mentioned Randy Vasquez.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about that coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. We also have Brett Boone, who's going to join us. A little extra show today as we lead into an EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 10:20 this morning. All still ahead with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.